I hate to call you a victim, but as a victim,
I call myself a survivor.
Welcome to Made Us. I am your host, Zach Weaver. My guest today is personal fitness trainer, arts and crafts connoisseur, mother of two, and wife, Nicole Railsback. From an outsider's perspective, Nicole is a very strong-willed, independent, strong woman. But recently, she went public with her struggles with mental health and the importance of getting help. This is an extremely important topic that continues to need to be addressed. And I truly appreciate Nicole coming on and giving us her story. If you like what you've been hearing on Made Us, please go into your favorite podcast app, rate and review the podcast, and let us know how we're doing. Also, make sure to tell a friend about it and tell them to subscribe. If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/MadeUsPodcast or on Instagram and Twitter at MadeUsPodcast. You're also welcome to drop us a line at MadeUsPodcast@Hotmail.com. And if you know someone that should be on the show, drop us an email. We'll reach out to them and see what we can do. I just want to take a second and thank everybody for their continued support of this show. Without your support, Made Us wouldn't be anything, and I truly appreciate the feedback. So with that being said, I'm done rambling, and please help me welcome Nicole Railsback. Nicole, welcome.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm really happy to have you here tonight.
Happy to be here, Zach.
Yeah, you got a really cool story, and I'm happy to share it with everybody. So first, let's tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised in Michigan. I went to school at Michigan. Go Blue.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
And I have two little boys. I'm married, and I live here in Bridgeman.
Nice. How old are your boys?
Three and four.
Okay.
Blake, the oldest, will be five at the end of this month.
Nice. Three and four. That's close.
It's terrible.
That's terrible.
They're 14 months apart. Almost. Wow, that's close. Almost to the hour, honestly.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. They keep me pretty busy.
That's crazy. And you're married? Is that what you said?
Yep. I'm married. My husband, Cody, is from Texas.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. He moved up here.
Nice.
After we found out that I was pregnant with Bo.
Okay.
And he works at Siemens in Bridgman.
Nice.
Selling cars.
Nice. And what do you do?
I am a personal trainer at MadFit.
Nice. What style gym is that?
It's HIIT style. Okay. It's high intensity interval training.
Nice.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They're group classes and they are about 45 minutes long and it's nonstop. Go, go, go. And
nice. Is it some kind of along the same lines as CrossFit?
No.
No? Not at all?
No. It's HIIT is more like you have the heart pumping nonstop. Yeah. Like it's you try and get your heart rate up the entire class, and CrossFit is more the strength weight training, whereas HIIT is more plyometrics and okay. body weight, and we also incorporate weightlifting as well.
Okay.
But
yeah, HIIT stands for high intensity interval training.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And then I own my own business called Rustic Wall Designs. I make signs, and I just recently started making shirts.
Oh, nice.
So I do that.
What kind of signs do you make?
Oh, gosh. Everything. Mostly holiday and football because...
Holiday and football. That seems like your life right now, right?
Story of my life. Yes. I do like welcome porch signs and door hangers and home decor.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Is it custom order or is it just stuff you have in stock?
Both. So yeah. I usually have a lot of people that are messaging me constantly asking me for certain things like, hey, can you make this? Can you make that? And I have a hard time saying no. So I'm always like, yes, you know,
no,
like,
of
course
the same
I
way.
Can. You know, I heard a phrase once, you know, even if you don't know how to do it, say yes and learn how to do it.
So I love that.
Always said yes, but it's gotten me into trouble.
I love that.
Sometimes.
I have a really hard time saying no as well. That's one of my problems for sure.
Yeah.
So what got you into doing the personal training?
Well, I was like wicked fat.
Wicked fat?
Like I'm 5, almost 5'3", and I was 175 pounds at my heaviest without being pregnant. And this was actually after my first marriage.
Okay.
And I was like crazy depressed and I just would just drink and eat and not take care of myself. And then when I met my current husband, Cody, he And I moved to Texas and lived with him. And, you know, obviously when you're with somebody who loves you, you kind of like, you know, take care of yourself a little bit more. And that's how I kind of started getting into the health and fitness thing.
Okay.
And then just last year, about a year and a half ago, the owner of Anytime Fitness, he saw like a bunch of my posts, you know, because I had lost a bunch of weight. And he said, you know, I want you. He had just bought the gym. And he was like, I want you to be a trainer at my gym.
Nice.
And I'm like, well, I'm not a trainer. And he's like, well, get certified and become one.
Oh, that's cool. He's so, just like, yep, you're going for it. Come on now.
Yeah. So it was definitely cool how he kind of believed in me in that area. And I did. I went and I got certified. And that's how I essentially got. I had been dabbling with it back and forth. But he was kind of the push, you know, lit the fire under my ass.
Yeah. And now you're kicking people's asses in the gym.
I am.
Yeah.
It's
and you guys
so
do
much fun.
You guys do morning classes? That's kind of your thing?
I do morning classes, yes, but they have afternoon classes too.
Okay. Yeah, I know you said you're joining me after your bedtime. So
it is, yeah. I'm usually up at like 3:30 in the morning.
Holy cow, that's rough.
Naturally. Like I don't even the alarm is set just in case, but I'm always up before my alarm.
Yeah. From what I know of you, you are a very strong willed, motivated person.
Yes.
Which is what I see, which is what I know. And I just recently found out some information about you that when I saw you open up, I felt was really powerful. And that's kind of why I asked you to be here today, because I think it's a topic that a lot of people have going on in their lives that they don't want to deal with or don't want to talk about openly.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw you talk about it, I thought it was a great time to have you on to give people that opportunity to hear your story, to maybe give them the chance to share their story.
Right.
So with that, give us a little bit about what I'm talking about.
So as I previously stated, I was married prior.
Okay.
I got married when I was 18
in
Vegas.
Oh, in Vegas?
We eloped, yes.
Oh, wow. Were you here? Did you live in Michigan at the time?
So I did. Well, I was going to school at University of Michigan.
Okay.
And he was in the Marines. And I went out there. He was stationed in 29 Palms, California. And
okay.
It's about a 3-4 hour drive from Vegas. And for my spring break, I went out there obviously to visit him because he was going to get deployed soon. And I had no intention of, we had no intentions of getting married. We were engaged.
Okay.
But it was not like a, yeah, I'm going to come out there and we're going to get married. And
yeah, I can imagine.
But everyone thought that, obviously. Like,
oh, yeah, when you went out there. Did you guys say you were going to Vegas or did you just went out to visit him?
I went out to visit him. We had no intentions of even going to Vegas.
Okay.
And at the end of it, I think we had like 2 or 3 days left and his family was out there visiting him as well.
Okay.
And we were like, yeah, let's go to Vegas because we want to get married. Like we came up with this plan secretly. And we were like, yeah, we should just go to Vegas for a few days.
Like in that week? Like while you were there?
Mm-hmm.
You were just like, hey, I got an idea, a crazy one.
Yeah.
We're 3 hours from Vegas.
He that was his idea. Yeah. And I was like, okay, like, sure. I mean, we're engaged already.
Was he older than you, I guess?
Yeah, 19.
Okay.
So
not much.
Yeah, not just a year. And so, yeah, and this is so terrible because I would kill my fucking kids if they did this to me. We were in Vegas and his family was in Vegas as well, but they were off doing something else.
And you just snuck off.
And we got me.
Holy shit. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was terrible. I can't believe I did that. Yeah. I'm such a terrible human being.
Was it by Elvis?
No, it was actually by like a real like priest. But we did get married at the Little White Wedding Chapel.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Like the famous one. But the only reason why we chose it was because it was the cheapest one. Because we couldn't afford anything else.
Yeah.
So
how did your parents feel about that when you came home?
Oh, my God.
They were probably not happy.
Oh, my God. My mom, if she ends up listening to this, she's going to. It's so funny because my dad and I will never let her live it down.
Yeah.
So obviously I told my sister first cause she picked me up from the airport and she was like, you better tell mom and dad or I'm going to fucking tell them. Like you have until 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. And I'm like, 7 a.m.
Oh, she gave you the ultimatum.
It's fucking like midnight. Like,
yeah.
And so obviously I had to get up before she did and call my mom. She was like, after I told her, I was like, I kind of eloped. And she goes, what do you mean you kinda eloped? And I was like, well, Carl.
Yeah, you can't really kinda elope.
I know. I was like, well, Carl and I, we got married. And she was like, oh my God, Nicole, are you fucking kidding me? She's like, how the hell am I going to tell your dad? And I was like, oh, so you're going to tell dad. Great. Thanks. Like, click, bye.
And, oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
And then like 3 hours later, they were in Ann Arbor. And
not happy.
My mom goes, you know, Nicole, I just don't know what to say. I would rather you be pregnant. And my dad and I are like, we both like simultaneously look at her like, what the fuck? Are you crazy? And my dad's like, no, we would not. Like, like, no. He was like, do not. No, no. And then he was like, are you pregnant? Is that why you got married? And I'm like, nope, I just wanted to get married.
Oh, wow.
So his parents were in Vegas when we got married, but we did not invite them to the wedding, which I think is even worse than...
than just doing it behind your parents' back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So good. Yeah, it started off great. So anyway, yeah, that's where it started. And then he left for Iraq.
Okay.
Shortly after we got married, leap year, and he left in May.
Okay.
April or May. And he came home October 25th, and then October 31st, we had a party for Halloween, obviously.
Yeah.
And he got mad at me for something, or he just got mad in general.
Okay.
And he picked me up by my neck, and he threw me across the room. And the only reason why he, like, let go of me was because his best friend came around the corner and saw him holding me.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, put her down, like, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah,
and
just, that's intense.
Yeah, it was very, very intense. And yeah, so the, and that's how it kind of all started.
Yeah.
And I dealt with situations like that for another 3 months, three or four months. And I finally, the last episode that he had, he told me that I needed to leave or he's going to kill me.
Oh, that's
nice. And this was, he was like sober. This was the next day after it happened. I came home because I had ran away that night.
Yeah. As you would.
Like trying to escape. Yeah. And I came back and he was there and he was like, you need to leave. He's like, I don't even know what happened. He goes, but I know judging by our place, because it was like, there was like shattered glass and just holes in the wall. It was terrible.
Oh, wow.
Was
he blaming you for things?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everything. I mean, I remember specifically there was a moment where he held up a frame of us and he was like, do you see this? Like, do you see who these people are? Like, this is nothing. And he threw it and it hit the oven door and the oven door like shattered everywhere. And he like said, like, I cheated on him while he was gone. And, you know, like, I make him angry. And he was not like this before he left. Like, we were very inseparable. Like,
yeah, that's a hard way to live.
Like, obnoxiously, like, on top of each other. Never could keep our hands off each other. And he came back and it was like total 180. Like, I couldn't get through to him.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people when they come back, they're kind of in that world in their head.
Mm-hmm. Well, he never saw combat either. So I was like, you know, what is happening here? Like, what's going on? Like, what did you see over there that's making you act this way?
Yeah.
And just recently, him and I reconnected because he said he wanted to know everything that happened because he didn't remember.
Oh, so he was kind of blacking out during these
some parts. Yeah, he would remember some things and not others.
Yeah.
And I was initially like, I don't think that's a good idea, you know. I feel like it's in the past, you know, this was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, I want to share that like load with you. I want to share that burden with you. And I'm like, that's like, I'm fine. Like, it's, you don't have to do that. But eventually I ended up sharing some of the stuff with him and yeah, he like couldn't believe some of the things that he had done.
Do you feel like that by kind of unloading that on, not, I don't want to say unloading it on him, but unloading it to him, do you feel like that helped you or do you feel like it kind of brought it up and reopened that?
I think it brought it up and kind of reopened it actually, because it is what led me to, sorry.
You're good.
I was diagnosed with PTSD after this happened, after I left him.
Was this shortly after this or was this?
So I had left in February and I was still going to school.
Okay.
On via Michigan online and went to school physically again that following fall. And I just was so sad. Like, I couldn't get my shit together. And okay. obviously, for obvious reasons, we were still married. He was deployed again.
Yeah.
And he wanted nothing to do with me. Like, he didn't want to be married to me. Meanwhile, I'm the one that's like, why don't you want to marry? Why don't you still want to be married to me? Like,
oh, yeah. You're still trying to make it work, even mm-hmm. though you've been through this.
Yeah. Because I knew it wasn't him. I knew it wasn't like, this is not like, you know, my husband and you just need help. You need to go see somebody.
Yeah.
And so I ended up going to see somebody just on accident, actually. Like, you know how they do all those testings for student experiments type thing? When okay. they're like the studies?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, they were like looking just for a few people to do a few studies on. And I went, and the psychologist that is in charge of the department asked me to come and see him privately. And later on, so I went, and he was like, you have a severe case of PTSD. Like, I don't know if you know this or not. And he asked me if I would do some tests for free.
Oh, wow.
So I did. And sure enough, I got diagnosed with PTSD. Yeah.
Was that pretty shocking when he brought that to you? Or did you, I mean, did it make sense, or was it pretty shocking?
Both. I mean, obviously it makes sense. Like, I went through, I mean, I was 19, 18, 19 years old going through something that no human being should go to, let alone a teenager.
Yeah.
And for him to just be like, hey, like, you need, like, there's something wrong with you type of thing. Yeah. Like, not wrong with you, but you need help. Even if you know it or not, like, you need help. And so that's when I was diagnosed with it, when I was 18 or 19.
Okay.
And then.
And that kind of brought on that depression feel that you had. You said you were just always mm-hmm. down. And
always, always. And it took me a really long time up until basically I met Cody is when it started to fizz out a little bit.
Okay.
I ironically took a class that semester because I wanted to just get some, like, I need to know all the facts junkie
okay.
type of person.
Yeah. I know a lot of those people.
Yeah. And the more I know, the more I'm able to, like, understand it. And the easier it is for me to deal with, I guess. So I took a domestic violence class. They ironically were offering a class that semester. It was sociology and domestic violence and family. And I'll never forget this. This was back in 2008, 2009. And I remember they said, on average, it takes a woman 7 years to leave her husband after domestic violence.
Yeah.
On average, 7 years, which means women are staying like 10 times longer than that.
Oh, women, there's, I mean, I don't say women, partnerships, yeah. mm-hmm. the victims will stay with people for a long time.
Years.
And years, I only say life. Sometimes, right. I mean, to the point that, you know, something dramatic has to happen, mm-hmm. you know, that maybe they will, you know, I mean, I hate to say it like this, but that it does come down to their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sad to see
that. That's what happened
that.
To me. Yeah. I mean, I was still, the only reason why I left is because he basically made me go. He made me leave.
I hate to call you a victim, but as a victim,
I call myself a survivor.
Okay. As a survivor. I like that. I like that a lot better. As a survivor, did you try to justify it? I mean, when it was happening?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't consider myself a weak person. I don't consider myself somebody that, like, puts up with bullshit, because I don't.
Well, that's so like I said, the part of me that knows you
mm-hmm.
is, I know you're very strong-willed. Mm-hmm. You're a very motivated, strong person. So when I found this out, it was really shocking to me, because I didn't realize you'd gone through this because of what I know about you.
Right. Because I said it too. It's like, oh, God, if someone ever put their hands on me, I would leave them, or I'd kick their ass, or, you know what I mean? But when it comes down to it, like, just because someone hits you doesn't mean that you love them any less.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that it just automatically goes away. So he had just come back from Iraq. Like, what kind of wife would I be if I just, like, if this happened, this one incident happened, I just up and left? Like, I still stand by that statement to this day.
Yeah.
I mean, after all that's said and done, I don't regret staying as long as I did.
Okay.
Because I wish I would have pushed harder. The things that I regret in that aspect, like, pushed harder for him to get help sooner.
Yeah.
And, like, for it to be, like, non-negotiable. But, yeah, no, I mean, oh, absolutely justified staying with him, because, I mean, he was my husband. I loved him. He had just gotten back from Iraq. I figured I should give the man a chance to fucking figure himself out, you know?
Yeah.
But I never got an opportunity to do that either.
Yeah, that's hard. That's really hard. And I get what you're saying, that you want to push through it and you want to kind of help him. Mm-hmm. You know, even though you're the one that's really suffering mm-hmm. through it, you want to help him.
There's definitely a reverse psychology thing that happens there. I mean, because you don't, up in, until you're actually in the moment, you really don't know until you're in it.
Oh, absolutely. You, and people say it all the time. Like you said, if anybody ever laid their hands on me, I'm out of here. But you don't really know what to do unless you're in that moment.
I can tell you right now, if anyone ever laid a hand on my children, I'd fucking kill them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, so it's like one of those things where I think if we had kids, it'd be a different story, but we don't. So I never, and I think I would have maybe left sooner if we did have kids, because I wouldn't want to subject them to that. But, you know, I just, I didn't. It was just me and I was 18, 19. And
it's a lot in hindsight to see.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, and then my whole, like, aftermath of that, I just continuously dove deep. I know I ended up majoring in psychology and sociology because of it. I wanted to just figure out, like, the brain and things like that. You know, I wanted to, what makes people do certain things and leading to PTSD. Like, how long does it last? Like, you know, is this a forever thing? How do I deal with this? And
so when you were diagnosed, did you start going to, like, is it therapy? Is it,
no,
is
it, was, no, I did. It is therapy, but no, I did not. Like, which is strange.
Yeah.
It's very strange. I think about it. And sometimes I'm always like, I have a heart, like, I still struggle with, as far as like, why didn't I look at my mom and dad? And I'm like, why didn't you, like, make me go to therapy?
Yeah.
Like, why didn't you just push?
Did you bring that to, I mean, did you tell them that? I mean, when you were diagnosed, did you bring that to them?
No.
No? You just kind of kept it to yourself?
Mm-hmm. I don't think I told a lot of people, actually. I think maybe a few, like, my close friends and things like that. And it was almost like once I told them, it was like, it wasn't like a surprise because of everything I had been through.
Yeah. The incidents that had happened, I mean, was it, did people know about it, or was it still kind of just between you two?
Well, I had told my mom and my dad. I had told, I'm actually very close with his cousins.
Okay.
Still to this day, like, my best friend is his cousin.
Yeah.
And so I had a very hard time telling them because I didn't want to lose them.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that. And I think that's, a lot of people feel that. They feel that trapped, you know, because of the other things.
Right. And that was one of the reasons, part of the reasons why I ended up staying, I think, longer than I should have as well. Then, you know, once I moved home, you know, I moved home and I worked at Port 412. I think it's the Buck now.
Yeah.
And, you know, people knew I was married. And
I didn't know you worked there.
Port 412?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was, like, short-lived. It was only open for, like, two. Yeah. But I worked there during summer.
Okay.
1 year. And then I got married and I left. And I came back and was like, hey, like, I'm still married, but I'm separated. Like, so, you know, people talk, they wonder, they ask. And I wasn't shy talking about it then, you know, but it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way because, you know, we're both from a small town. And everyone,
and everybody knows everyone.
Right. And,
well, it's like today we figured out that we live a mile apart and we didn't know that.
Right.
It's a small town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, that was hard for me to deal with because I didn't want to give him, like, a bad reputation. I still don't.
Yeah.
You know, people make mistakes and he seems to be happy and he's got his own kids.
Okay.
So, I mean, that was just something that unfortunately we had to live through together.
Yeah. So did you ever seek help or did you just kind of?
Eventually I did. And that was literally like four months ago.
Okay.
And this is literally like 10 years later.
Yeah.
And it was because I just would get, like, I'm a pretty energetic person. I'd like to think that I'm pretty, like, motivated. It takes a lot to make, like, kick me down. I'm usually always in a pretty good mood. But I just would get so damn sad. And it would come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, literally nothing would happen. And I would just be crying. And my husband and I had a really bad patch in our relationship. Or in our marriage, and we were separated for a while.
Okay.
And then when we got back together, it was like the sadness would just continue. And finally, I was like, I think I'm just going to go talk to somebody.
Yeah, this needs more attention.
Uh-huh. And so I literally saw her the second time after I saw her. She was like, because I had said, I think I'm either, I have a hormonal imbalance, my PTSD or whatever is coming back. I don't know if that's like a thing, but okay. I think that it's coming back. I was like, I think I'm bipolar.
Yeah.
And she goes, I think you're bipolar.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what? Like,
so you didn't really think that. You just kind of threw that out there.
Yeah. And so this is clearly something like you're thinking about, like that you've already thought about. And when she said that, I was like, I think I took that harder than the PTSD, actually. Yeah. And the ironic thing is you don't necessarily, you're not necessarily born with being like bipolar disorder.
Okay.
You can actually develop it over time if you are susceptible to post-traumatic stress disorder or traumatic events in your life.
Okay.
Or,
so it kind of brought that on.
Mm-hmm. So like the more things you are set up for, you know, the more things that happen to you in your life, the more likely you could, you know, develop this disorder if you are prone to it.
Okay.
Like if
you have
family history.
That.
Like your family history obviously has a little bit to do with it. So I was more susceptible to getting it.
Yeah.
And all of the events that I went through in my life.
It just kind of brought that out.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, when she told me that, like, my first initial reaction was like, great, one more fucking thing wrong with Nicole. Like, like, let's just add it to the list of shit, you know. And but it actually, you know, because when you hear the word bipolar, there's such a stigma around it, you know.
There does seem to be a really big stigma around that.
I mean, myself included, because the first thing I thought was like, oh, great, I'm just like a modern day Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you know, like type of thing. And it's not, though, especially the I have like low to moderate bipolar is what she said. And it's like a lot of it has to do with just feeling highs and lows of.
You kind of feel the extremes instead of balancing out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like being very empathetic is another thing. Like we're more prone to being sensitive.
Okay.
Which all makes sense because I am wicked sarcastic, but I'm also extremely empathetic.
Yeah.
So I can like, if like you're having a really bad day, I might not even know who you are, but I'm just like, and if you tell me like what happened, I could literally just cry with you.
Yeah. You told me that in the pre-interview. Yeah. That you're like, I cry easily.
Yeah. So. Like really easily, which is weird because I never, it was like, it was almost like I didn't have tear ducts for a while.
Oh, geez.
But now I do. And it's like, I can't turn them off. But
yeah, you feel the extreme highs and extreme lows and it's hard to balance.
Yeah. It has nothing. But, you know, there is the other side of being bipolar, and that is, and that's a lot of people actually get mixed up with personality disorder, which are two different things.
Okay.
But there's nobody knows the good, then everyone knows the bad.
Yeah.
You know, like you're bipolar, you're crazy. It's like, no, not necessarily.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And then personality disorder is more or less just like you have multiple personalities and almost like you're fake, you have a facade, which, you know, could actually just be a modern day thing for a lot of people.
Yeah, there's a lot of fake people out there now.
I'm just kidding.
No, you might be just joking, but it's sadly true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's sadly true.
Yeah.
I know a little bit about some of the stuff, but I know enough to say that I don't know enough about it.
Right. Yeah.
So
right.
I'm not one of those people that will talk about it because I know that I don't know enough about it.
Right. Right. That's like me with my husband in politics because I just am like,
yeah, we stay away from there.
Yeah.
That's not a fun topic.
No, it's not.
So when she told you were bipolar, I mean, where did it go from there?
I mean, I was in like complete self-loathing for probably the next 36 hours, just constant crying, just constant like, you know, my husband, God bless his soul, he is such a patient man. He, you know, is like, whatever we need to do, like, to, you know, get you through this, like, whatever you need from me. He's like, this doesn't mean you're crazy. This doesn't mean, you know, he's trying to tell me all this stuff. And
yeah, and I feel like that's what you really need is that solid partner.
Yeah. And he, you know, obviously went to work the next day and I'm online doing the exact thing you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
And Googling everything.
Never do it. It's like using WebMD to figure out why your ankle hurts.
Right.
And then you realize.
And then you're going to die of cancer yesterday.
Yeah, you're going to die of cancer. Yeah.
And so I'm like sending him all this information and these screenshots and things like that. And he's like, I think we should just not look up stuff like anymore.
That's probably best.
Yeah. But of course I didn't listen and I kept going. And that's when I ended up finding, you know, like certain things, like, you know, just because you're bipolar doesn't mean this. And like, you know, how do you get bipolar? Is it something you're born with? Is it chemical imbalance? Like, you know, and I do not like taking pills.
Okay.
And I was really worried that they were going to pump me with pills.
Yeah, force you medication on mm-hmm. you.
And she's a therapist, so she's not a psychiatrist. So she can't give me pills.
Okay. Yeah, there is a difference there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she said, if you can control this naturally, she's like, I don't have to refer you.
Okay.
I found a bunch of oils. You know, I'm into Young Living oils.
Okay.
And a few vitamins that I guess are like brain healthy, I guess. And I've been taking those regularly. And so far, I've been okay. I've had a few moments where like you can get like, that's another thing. It's like you can get like wicked angry
yeah.
or sad over nothing. Like it's the same, like sadness, anger, like over nothing. And I've had a few moments like that, but nothing compared to what it had been.
Yeah. So is it just the oils and the vitamins, or do you change your diet, or
I'm glad you asked, because it has a lot to do with your diet and your exercise regimen. But okay. I've already.
Yeah, you were already doing that.
Yeah, I've already been doing that for years, so I didn't really, fortunately, didn't have to change any of that.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, it does have to do with like exercise and eating, changing your eating habits, but I didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah. So it's been mainly the oils and the vitamins mm-hmm. that's kind of helped you. Probably are you going to therapy now, or are you?
I am. I haven't gone in a couple of months or a couple of weeks because, well, school started and
it's tough right now. It's a tough time of year.
I haven't like stopped. I just have not gone in a couple of weeks because I just haven't had the time.
Yeah.
But
so you said you do craft shows.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start doing that? I mean, did you do that?
It's funny because like a lot of the things that I do today are because of what happened to okay. me then. Like when I lived, I moved. So I graduated from the University of Michigan, and then I moved to, I keep saying University of Michigan because I feel like if I say Michigan, people aren't going to, they're going to think that I'm saying just Michigan, the state of Michigan, and I'm not. So I'm not just being like pompous asshole. But so I graduated, and then literally the next day I moved out to Arizona.
Okay.
And I had been out there for a couple months at that point, and I got tired of going out drinking because that's all you do. Have you ever been to Arizona before?
Yes. And that's all I did out there.
Yeah. You just, I mean, it's literally, I love that place, but
that's not 100% true. I tattooed out there. So I tattooed.
Okay.
And
so
then
then you know exactly the people that I'm talking about. It's like people would rather drive a Range Rover and have an empty house just to show people that they drive a Range Rover.
Yeah.
And that's bullshit to me. Yeah, hood rich. Yeah. Like, yeah, it is exactly hood rich. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then, and I just got to, I didn't fucking want to go to another, like, American Junkie bar.
Yeah.
That's what it's called, American Junkie.
Oh, okay.
And it's filled with a bunch of people that wear Ed Hardy and.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like from Jersey Shore, Ed Hardy's.
Yeah.
Trying to be somebody. And so I went to Michael's and I got a canvas and some paint, and I stayed at home and painted a sunset, like a desert sunset. And my roommate came home and was like, I didn't know like you could paint like this, you know. And I'm living in a house with six other people at this time.
Oh, geez.
And I had just gotten fired from my job, and I was working like 70 hours a week, and I'm like 22 years old. And I got fired because essentially I was a woman.
Holy shit, that's intense.
Because some guy couldn't handle me being in charge of him.
Yeah.
Because I was a manager.
Okay.
And you're
kind of a powerful woman. You might be 5'3", but you're kind of a badass.
Tiny but mighty.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. So, yeah. And I was like, I'm fucking not going back to work. Like, I worked my ass off for a year. Like, I'm not. No.
Yeah.
I've done nothing with my life. Like, this is not how I want to live my life. This isn't even what I went to school for. So I just like painted. And then my roommate was like, this can literally be your rent.
Yeah.
If you paint me pictures for the house.
Oh, wow.
So I did. And that was my rent. And then eventually I went to like Yosemite Park and I went to Sequoia and
nice.
I went to Nashville. I was actually supposed to move to Nashville. And then I met my husband.
Where'd you meet him at? I know he's from Texas. Where'd you meet him at?
Do you want the true story or the story we tell everybody?
I want you to tell me what you want to tell me.
Well, we tell people that we met in Arizona because he's a retired professional baseball player.
Okay.
So he was actually in Arizona trying out for, I think, the Dodgers the LA Dodgers, I want to say.
Okay.
And that same day, I ironically was at a Cubs game. And so we say that we met there.
Okay.
We really met on Twitter, though.
Uh-oh. Did you stalk him?
No, he stalked me.
Does Cody know that he stalked you? Are you just putting that out there?
No, he knows that he stalked me. He messaged me first.
Okay.
Yeah, no, 110%.
All right.
So.
You can stick to your story.
Yes, I can. Okay. I can stick to it. But that's how we met. We met on Twitter.
My wife says I kissed her first, and that's a total lie.
I don't know. I don't know if I believe that.
She totally kissed me first.
Well.
We all know the story. So you can stick to your story on how you guys did it. But
I will get him in here. Don't make me call him. I'll text him and I'll be like, babe, listen.
Yeah. He's probably afraid of you.
He should be. Just kidding. Not really, though.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah. So, and that's how I kind of started getting into painting, you know, and it helped me just... made me feel better. You know, I wasn't really thinking.
Yeah.
I was just kind of painting what I wanted to. And then the whole like fitness thing, you don't realize like when I became a trainer, and I knew this kind of just for myself, but I thought, you know, it was just me. When you work out, like it is so much more than a physical thing.
Yeah.
It's so like mentally, like you don't even understand the change that you go through when you have to put in that much like discipline.
Oh yeah.
And time in yourself, you know, like you have to make a conscious effort every day to spend time on yourself.
Yes.
And then it makes you realize like so many other areas of your life that you're like, why am I doing this? Like, I'm not doing this for myself. Like I'm doing this for this person. And it just makes it starts like there and then it goes full fledged into the rest of your life. And when I became a trainer, I had clients that I would work out and they would start crying.
Yeah.
Because it's like all that aggression, all of that like built up whatever is inside of them. It is a release. And like it was really cool to see because I was like firsthand witnessing it. You know, I was pushing people to their limits and they're telling me no and they're telling me they can't do it. And I'm like, yes, you fucking can.
Yep, go further.
Like I know you can because I've seen you do it. Like you just think you can't. It is such like a mental game. And that's, I think, working out has definitely changed that mentality for me as well. I mean, working out like saved my life.
Yeah.
For sure. The ironic thing is I don't think I never would have probably gotten into working out and painting the way that I do, that I am now. Like when he had originally reached out to me wanting to reconnect and talk, I told him like I had to like paint or something like that.
Yeah.
And he was like, I didn't know you painted. He's like, which is kind of weird, you know, like,
yeah.
He was like, He's like,
I thought I knew you.
Right. He was like, I feel like that's not something you just learn. Cause you know, there's some paintings that I've done that are pretty good and, not to toot my own horn or anything.
Yeah.
But toot fucking.
Do it.
And, he had said, he was like, you know, I feel like really stupid for not knowing that. So that's something like I never did when I was with him that I never probably would have done. I mean, who's to say what, but still, it's just something that there's a lot of things that I'm doing now that I never would have done had it been for everything that I had gone through with him.
Yeah, that's neat to see you push through that.
It's funny that you say like I'm a little badass because him and I had this conversation.
Yeah.
Because he says that like a lot of people that know him. Because he seems to be doing really well and like he's overcome a lot as well. You know, he's got a lot of demons, I'm sure.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And he said, him and I were talking about it. It's like everyone wants to be called a badass. But when you actually are one, it's like the last thing you want to be, like the last title you want to claim.
Yeah.
Because of the things that you go through that make you a badass like aren't like worth it. Like you would rather just not be a badass, because once you're considered one, you're just like, yeah, the title's not that great.
Yeah.
So
the view's not that great from up here.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's just funny that you had mentioned that, because we had just talked about that a couple months ago.
Yeah, life takes you on a weird path, mm-hmm. and sometimes in order to get to that path, you really deal with the suck.
Yeah.
And the suck is not fun.
Oh, absolutely. That was one thing my dad, I remember when I first got home from California, I was laying in bed, and I had probably been in bed for like a week, 5 days at this point.
Oh, wow. And this is dealing with some of the PTSD.
But this is literally like right after I came home.
Okay.
Like when he told me to leave. And I'm just, and this is like February too. I remember I came home, flew into Chicago, and it was like the worst blizzard ever.
Yeah.
My dad picks me up in my Chevy fucking Cavalier. I'm like, really? You couldn't bring like the van, the truck, like something more, you know, safer by chance? It took us hours to get home. And I just remember like being like, this is literally the worst day of my life. And so I basically was in bed for 5 days straight. And I remember my dad coming into my room and being like, you need to get up. Like, you need to come down for dinner. Like, it's time to get up now. It's time to start moving forward.
Yeah, one foot in front of the other.
And ever since then, I have always kind of held on to that philosophy of keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Like, never as, like, you can look back, you can learn from your past, but never, like, you just keep moving forward. You know, like, it doesn't matter who hurts you. It doesn't matter what people say. Just keep going, keep moving forward.
Yeah, that's really powerful.
It's definitely something that has stuck with me that I've never not used it ever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's huge to really kind of just do what you can do every day.
I definitely have my hard days though.
Yeah.
Best believe that.
I can imagine.
I mean, people think that once you overcome something, it's like nothing holds you down, but I can literally get upset by some like mean bitch on Facebook just literally being mean to be mean. Like, that's still stuff, like, unfortunately still upsets me sometimes, you know?
Oh, I hear you. I get real down about things too. When I try not to let things bother me.
Mm-hmm.
And in my tattoo career, I've grown a pretty popular name. A lot of people know who I am in my tattoo career. And
that's how I know you.
There's a lot of people that will say things that are blatantly untrue. I just dealt with one last week with a person that doesn't know me, has never been tattooed, has never been in my shop. Doesn't even have tattoos. Is a person that dislikes tattoos and was just kind of saying some blatantly wrong things about me. And even though I knew that they're not true, and anybody that knows me knows it's not true, it really bothered me. And it's hard for me to put that mm-hmm. behind me. I'm one of those people that kind of dwell on things.
Oh, same. I'm constantly like giving myself pep talks. And like sometimes I put it out there like on Facebook, you know, like that thing that you had seen about my younger self. And because I still have to say that stuff to myself. I still have to say, like, you're not crazy. Like, just because someone doesn't like you, it has nothing to do with you and your character. Just because someone is mean to you, you know. And that was something that I struggled with immensely after my marriage with my ex-husband. Like, he, you know, like, what did I do wrong? You know, constantly, like, what did I do? Me. When in actuality, it had nothing to do with me at all.
Yeah.
And actually, now that I'm mentioning this, when you had asked me like if I had gotten therapy after I had first been diagnosed with it. So Carl and I had gone to counseling like once or twice when we were there. Because it was like part of his like, you know, like.
Yeah, they have like a return when they come home. They have like this isn't part of that.
They didn't have that at this time.
Okay.
They didn't do any debriefing on these guys.
Okay.
This was like 3 years later when they started the debriefing.
Okay.
This was 3 years prior with me and Carl. And he, we were in the marriage counselor's room and she's talking to us and she goes, well, what did you do to make him so mad?
Oh man, that's not
good. I was like, what, bitch? I was like, what? And I'm like 19, you know, like thinking like, I remember thinking that how crazy of a question that was, even in that moment, like as quote unquote deluded as I may have been at that point in time for staying there and trying to work on it. I remember being like, no, nothing. I did literally, even if I like set his head on fire,
that's
nothing.
Not enough.
Yeah, like nothing. And that really turned me off to therapy. That's why
I pushed you away from it.
Right. Yeah. And that's why I didn't go for a while. But then after everything that happened with my, like when I got home and stuff like that, I told my mom and dad, I was like, you know, I don't even remember how we got on the conversation, but I had said something about being bipolar. And this was years ago. And my mom goes, well, I thought you were bipolar growing up sometimes. She's like, I've had that thought here and there. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm literally like an adolescent, you know, like.
Do you think that's true? Or do you think that's just a parent? I don't want to say a parent, like talking about a child, but a lot of, you know, we watch our kids. We both have kids about the same age, two boys, and you see them do things. And yeah, you could go, oh, they're bipolar because 1 minute they're up, 1 minute they're down, but they're also kids. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they're bipolar. Do you think that's a parent just kind of overreacting, or do you think she genuinely thought that?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question, because my mom can overreact a lot. She can definitely over-exaggerate for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you were at my house for a matter of 10 minutes earlier, and my youngest went from screaming to running around in joy to screaming to, you know,
I mean. He's three.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying is.
I mean, they're monsters. They're three-nagers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So is it a parent overreacting?
Well, see, I was a little older, though. I wasn't three. I was, you know, a preteen. I was in high school, you know, and
a preteen girl.
I know we're crazy bitches. Yeah. I know, and that usually actually never goes away, to be honest with you. We just learn how to maintain it is all.
Gotcha.
But yeah, no, I mean, still, even if it's like my youngest son Beau, which is probably what started the whole like bipolar thing again, like leading into that, and how my husband and I actually ended up separating, is my youngest son Beau, we thought he was autistic.
Okay.
My husband didn't, but I did.
Yeah.
But even though, like, I took him to.
Yeah, that's a hard thing.
I took him to get tested. You know what I mean? Like, I did not stop. So, like, if I think there's something, like, legitimately wrong with my child, yeah, I'm going to fucking try and help him. Like, I'm going to try and do anything I possibly can, not so much to, like, he can't have this. Like, he can't be autistic. It's more or less, like, let's figure out if he does. Because if he does, let's get him intervention as soon as we can to so he can accommodate to his life, like so his life is easier.
That makes
sense.
You know
what I mean? It has nothing to do with like we gotta fix him. It's more or less just, you know, like
just get him the
I need the proper tools that I need for him. You know, let's the sooner the better. Again, the fun fact checker type thing.
Yeah.
And so I think if my mom legitimately thought that, or like that was like a little thought in her mind,
probably would have been better to step forward on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had a pretty rough go in life in general. You know, I didn't have a lot of friends growing up. All the girls were mean to me. Got married when I was 18, 19 years old. And you know how girls are. They're so fucking mean. But I had like a different, like depression, like felt suicidal. Like they were so mean to me back in the day.
Oh, man.
And and then I got married. My husband beat the shit out of me and cheated on me. And then I left and had to like basically come home with my tail between my legs. And, you know, it's like I said, just another issue that Nicole has, like another problem. But I look back on it now and I'm just like, I've lived so much life and I'm only 29.
Yeah. You're like, killing it.
I don't regret anything that I've ever been through at all.
Yeah. And I do. I mean, like when I said it, I meant it. I see you as a very strong-willed, strong person. You're a very motivated person. You know, I see you as a very strong woman. I see you as a very strong person, not just a strong woman, but as a strong person and a leader. Like, I really do see that in you. You're out there pushing people to overcome a lot of things, whether it's physical, whether it's mental. It's nice to see you out there doing that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm trying.
You're doing a good job at it.
Thank you.
Nicole, if there's one thing you wanted to say to anybody that would help them through something like this, what would you tell them?
Oh gosh, I had one thing, just one?
Just anything you'd want to say to somebody to help them through this.
Fucking find help. Like, don't give a shit what anybody thinks. Like, the stigma around, like, oh, you're seeing a therapist? Like, oh, like, you're crazy. Like, she's, like, whispering about it. Like, who fucking cares? Like, everyone has their own shit going on.
Absolutely.
And there's nobody in this world that's perfect. And if they seem like they are, if they act like they are, they're not. They're just really good at hiding it. And I can tell you right now, they're fucking miserable. Like, be authentically yourself and own it. there's nothing wrong with you. And if you like you, I can't stress enough how important it is for you to like yourself. It doesn't matter what anybody else says about you or what anybody else thinks about you, because at the end of the day, it's none of your goddamn business. What anybody says about you or what anybody thinks about you, it's none of your business.
Yeah, you're 100% right.
Yeah. And that's something that I still struggle with, but at the same time, it's so true. Like, I don't care what somebody thinks about me, because I learned something a long time ago that there's literally every single person in this world has a different opinion about you.
Yep.
So your opinion about me is so different than what my husband's opinion about me is. And same goes for my sister. So, I mean, as long as you like you and your opinion about you is legit, like at the end of the day, if you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, I tried, I feel like that's all that matters. And that's something that so many people need to get to, that it's just, because the sooner people get there with themselves, I think the nicer, like everyone's all like self-love and love each other and blah, blah, blah. It's like literally like, I understand like that hippie movement, but there's so much more to it.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much more like, yeah, this, all this crap that's going on in the world will eventually stop if people can just tolerate themselves first.
Yeah. I think you're onto something there. And I know what you're saying with the self-love and the self, I think the one that I like to say is self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
If you have confidence in yourself, mm-hmm. that goes a long way.
There's a, you know, it's a quote I heard a long time ago as far as like, being self-confident is walking into a room and wondering, oh, I can't remember exactly what it said. Just like, you know, I wonder what people will think about me. And being confident is when you walk into a room and say, I wonder what I'll think about these people.
Yeah.
Because you just don't think of it like that, you know? So I don't know. Yeah. It's more or less just fucking just keep moving forward. Find the help that you need. Don't be ashamed of it. And keep fighting for yourself, because nobody else is going to do it for you.
That's awesome. Thank you for being so powerful today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I know you're selling crafts, I know you don't want to talk about it. If someone's interested in seeing what you sell,
yes,
how can they find it?
I'm on Facebook and Instagram. I just don't tweet. It's not my thing anymore. You know, after I met Cody on there, it's basically...
Yeah.
Captured it for that. My company name is Rustic Wall Designs, and I also share a bunch of it on my Facebook page, like my personal page too, so you could always search my name and find it there.
Okay.
And then I'm also a trainer at MagFit.
Awesome.
I teach classes there in the mornings.
Where's MagFit at?
It's in Stevensville.
Okay, Stevensville, Michigan.
And I'm obviously not the only one that teaches classes there. Yeah. Ryan Magley, the owner, he teaches basically all of the classes, and then there's another female trainer, Gabrielle.
Okay.
So you should come. It's so much fun, and that's, it's very awesome. Motivational.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people in there, and everyone's pushing each other.
So you're telling me you're gonna kick my ass?
Yes, come. Oh my gosh, you should come.
Okay.
It'd be so fun.
Awesome.
I bet you would like it.
I probably would.
I know you would.
Actually. I probably would. Nicole, thank you for joining me tonight.
Thank you for having me.
It's been awesome. Until I put this in the bloopers at the end.
I was going to say, great. Oh, great. Yeah.
No, I won't do that.
My videographer for our wedding is a friend of ours, and he put bloopers at the end of our wedding, and he labeled it top 5 Nicole moments. And it's literally, that's just it. It's just me and like, I'm like swearing, or I'm like.
That's awesome.
Like being completely inappropriate, like talking about. Like,
oh,
it's,
geez.
Yeah. And then he, yeah. You put it at the end of our wedding video, but it's the best. Like,
that is great.
It is hilarious.
That's so good. Top 5 Nicole moments.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Please don't do that.
It's going in.
Okay, great.
Top 5 Nicole moments.
Can't
it's going
wait.
In.
Can't wait.